This week's parsha, which is Emor, there are three interesting psukim. Starting in Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Tes. Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lema, that the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe, and he said to him the following: Daber El Bnei Yisrael. You have here a tzivul, you have here a commandment that Moshe Rabbeinu should give over to Klal Yisrael. V'amarta Aleihem, and you should say to them the following: Kisavayo el Oretz, when you enter Eretz Yisrael, Asher Ani Noisenachem, which is the land which I'm giving you, Uksartem es Ktsiro, and you're going to plant, and you're going to grow crops, and you're going to reap the harvest of the crop that you planted. V'hevesem es oimer. You have to bring a korban oimer. What is the korban oimer? Continues the pasuk, reishis ktsirchem. It's the first crops that grow in the harvest, and you have to bring it ala koyen to the koyen. Meaning you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and give it to the Kohen. The Kohen takes it, V'heinif esa oimer lifnei Hashem, and he waves the oimer. There's a din of hanafah, there's a din of waving it like a lulav, up, down, and in the four directions. Lifnei Hashem, before the Ribbono Shel Olam, L'irtzoinchem, in order that you should find favor in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When do you do this mitzvah of Oimer, of bringing the Oimer, giving it to the Kohen, that the Kohen should be main if it, L'rotzem, Lifnei Hashem, L'irtzoinchem? Mimochras HaShabbos, Yenifenu HaKohen. The Kohen should be main of it when you bring the Omer, and the date on which you bring the Omer is Mimochas HaShabbos, which Chazal explained to mean that even though the word Shabbos usually refers to the seventh day of the week, it can't mean that here, because it doesn't specify here which Shabbos it would be, and therefore the intent of the pasuk here, when it uses the word Shabbos, actually means the day following the first day of Pesach. Shabbos in this context meaning the Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov of Pesach. Then the pasuk continues, the next pasuk, and the pasuk says, "V'asisem b'yoyim hanifchem esa oimer," and on the day in which you bring the oimer, there's also a korban that has to be brought, which is a keves tomim ben shnosai. It's a lamb which is within its first year after its birth. And it has to be without any mum. It has to be tomim. And then the Torah continues and says, and together with this, there was also a further korban that was brought, and that is a korban mincha. And then the Torah continues, and the Torah says that you can't use any of the produce which grew in the new crop in any form whatsoever until you have brought the Korban Omer. In other words, the Korban Omer is the matter, it's that which allows you to use the new crops. Then the pasuk continues, the next pasuk, and it says the following: Usfartem lochem, and you should count, min mochras haShabbos, from the day following the first day of Pesach, miyom haviyachem es oimer hatnufa, from the day in which you are bringing this korban oimer, which is tnufa, which is waved around, Sheva Shabbosis Tmimis Tiyeno, you have to count 7 weeks, and these 7 weeks have to be complete. Tmimis Tiyeno. And you count Admi Mochras HaShabbos HaShviyis Tisperu Chamishim Yoim until 50 days later. And 50 days later, which works out to be Shavuos, when that comes round, v'hikravtem mincha chadosho l'Hashem, then you have to offer up a new korban mincha, and mimosh v'seichem, from the places where you live, tovil lechem tnufo. You have to bring, again, another type of korban, which is made from, or which is called in the Torah, lechem, bread. Bread being made from wheat, as opposed to the korban omer, which was brought from Sairim, from barley. And this new korban, which you bring on Shavuos, which is basically bread, is lechem tnufa shtayim. It's two loaves of bread, and these two loaves of bread are made shnei yisraelim seiles tihiyeno. They're made from a measurement of 2/10 of an ephah, which is the measurement of flour. And the flour that you're using, which you're making from the wheat, in order to bake the shtei halechem, which is brought on Shavuos, has to be seiles, it has to be the best flour. And also, this bread, which you are baking, these shtei halechem, which you are baking to bring to the Korban Pesach, to the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos, Chometz teofena, it has to be bread which is chometz, it has to be bread which rises. And this korban of shtei alechem, bikurim l'Hashem, is a korban of bikurim, it's a korban of the first wheat produce of the year, which is brought on Shavuos. Now, it's very interesting, because these psukim appear in this week's parasha right in the middle of a topic which lichura has nothing at all to do with this. Because the topic which surrounds these few psukim is the parasha of the Moyadis. It's the parasha which deals with the halachas of the different yomim tovim. Now the korban omer and the korban shtei alechem, which happen to be brought, in other words, the time frame in which they're brought, is that the omer is brought on Pesach and the shtei alechem is brought on Shavuos. That's purely a time frame. That's purely when the korban has to be brought. But the concept of the korban, the concept of the korban omer and the concept of the korban of shtei alechem, as the Torah explicitly says, is that it's basically a korban of bikurim. In other words, there's a halacha that the first produce that grows has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And it makes no difference whether it's crops that you're growing, like barley or wheat, or whether it's fruit. Because there is a halacha that fruit also has to be brought. The first fruits which grow, there's a mitzvah of bikurim, they have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And there is a parasha in the Torah, not here, but there is a parasha in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, in Parashas Kisavoy. There's a whole parasha there which deals with the halachas of bikurim. So, if the korban oimer and the korban shtei alechem are korbanos which are bikurim, then the place in which the Torah should have brought them is within the parasha of bikurim. And you can't say that the reason why the Torah brings them here is because the time frame happens to be Pesach and Shavuos. Therefore, the Torah decided to bring it within the parasha of Pesach and Shavuos, because Bikurim of fruits are also brought on Shavuos. And yet the parasha of Bikurim of fruits doesn't appear here, because the parasha of Bikurim of fruits is a parasha bifnei atzmai. So if there is in the Torah a parasha bifnei atzmai of Bikurim, then that parasha of Bikurim in the Torah should encompass all the different types of Bikurim, including the Bikurim of barley and wheat. Why does the Torah put it here? In addition, the pasuk says, in reference to Sfiras Ha'ima, Usfaratim Lochem, you should count, Mimochras HaShabbos, starting from the day after the first day of Pesach, from the day on which you brought the Omer to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Omer was waved around by the Kohen. Now this pasuk is also a very strange pasuk. Why? Because what the Torah is doing is the Torah is interconnecting the counting of the days between Pesach and Shavuos with the Korban Omer. Lichura, the counting of the days between Pesach and Shavuos is absolutely zilch to do with the Korban Omer. It has nothing at all to do with the Korban Omer. It so happens that God in his infinite wisdom decided that Sfiras HaOmer has to be from the day on which you happen to bring the Korban Omer until 50 days later. So why is the pasuk interconnecting Sfiras HaOmer with Korban Omer? And if you tell me that the reason why the pasuk is interconnecting Sfiras HaOmer with Korban Omer is simply, again, a time frame, because it's trying to tell me when you start counting, then what the pasuk should have said is "V'safartem lachem mimorches haShabbos miyoyim haviyachem es ha'omer." Why es ha'omer hatnufa? Why the omer that's waved around? The fact that we wave it around happens to be a detail within the Korban Omer. So what has the sphera got to do with the omer, and why is it that in the course of time, what happened? We don't call this Sfira Bein Shavuos Le Bein Pesach Le Shavuos. What does everybody call it? When you're trying to find it in the Siddur, what do you look up in the index? Sfiras Omer. Why Omer? What's it got to do with the Omer? And even more, if you look inside the Chumash, you will see that every time the Torah refers, or kimat every time, that the Torah refers either to the Korban Omer or to the Korban Shtei Halechem, which was brought on Shavuos, the Torah always adds on the adjective Hatanufa. That was waved around. Which seems to imply that this business of waving around the Korban Omer, the Korban Shtei Lechem, is something which is integral to the mitzvah of Omer. Omer is not just bringing a Korban of Seirim to the Beis HaMikdash. Omer is bringing the Korban and waving it around. In other words, the waving around of the Korban plays a role. What's this business about waving it around? In reference to Pesach, we find something very interesting. The Pasuk says, in reference to Pesach, Shivas Yomim Matzeis Teichelu, that for 7 days you should eat matzahs, Ach B'yayim Marishayim, but by the first day of Pesach, Tashbisu Sa'or Mibotechem, you should remove all the chametz from your house. Now, if you think a moment about this pasuk, it's a very strange pasuk. Why? Because again, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says there is a mitzvah on Pesach to eat matzah for 7 days. But by the time Pesach comes round, you've got to get rid of all your chometz. It's the wrong way around. What it should say is, by the time Pesach comes round, get rid of all your chometz. And if you're worried about what you're going to eat on Pesach, then the answer is, Shivas Yomim Matzeis Teichelu. Because the order is, first you get rid of the chometz, and then you start eating the matzah. Not that you eat the matzah, and then you get rid of the chometz. So why does the Torah put it in this very strange order? One of the great Chassidic Rebbes, one of the biggest Balei Machshava amongst the Chassidic Rebbes, was the Shem Mishmul, the Sochachov Rebbe, was the son of the Avnei Nezer, was the grandson of the Kotzker. The Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzker, and the Shem Mishmul was the grandson. And the Shem Mishmul says the following. He says that on the Seder night, the first thing we do is announce the order of events. And within the order of events, we say Kadesh Rechatz. Says the Shem Mishmuel, in the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer, that besides any practical reasons that are relevant to why it's mentioned in this order, he says there's also a message that's being given to us in this order. And that is that if a person wants to know what is the Seder HaAvodo, what is the way in which he should work on himself in order to improve or in order to increase his Yirah Shamayim, then the way in which a person should do it is in two stages. It's in two phases. Phase number one is Sur Meira. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to stop doing that which you shouldn't be doing. And then V'yasei Toiv. And then start worrying about what you have to do. In other words, a person can't reach any darga of Toiv, any darga of Kedusha, any darga of Taro until he's first eliminated the negativity that exists. And that's why, says the Avnei Nezer, the Pasuk says, Sor Meira, and then Asay Toiv, not Asay Toiv, and then Sor Meira. Because that's the normal Derech HaAvoida. The normal Derech HaAvoida is first Sor Meira, and then afterwards you can worry about being Miskadesh, Bechina of Asay Toiv. Says the Avnei Nezer, on the Seder night, we get up and we say, Kadesh Urechatz. Tonight is different. Tonight, the Seder works differently. The order works differently. Tonight, first comes the Kadesh, first comes the Kedusha, first comes the Asay Toiv, and then Rechatz. And then afterwards, we'll worry about the Sur Meira. Why? Because the very name of the Yom Tov, Pesach, Chazal say comes from the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam jumped over, sprung over the Jewish houses at Makkos Bechoris. And the Loshen Pesach is a Loshen of Dilug, a Loshen of jumping. Says the Avnei Nezer, the whole Yom Tov of Pesach, particularly the first night of Pesach, the Leil HaSeder, represents the concept of Dilug, the concept of jumping. The fact that you have the right to jump Dargas. On Pesach night, you can reach an Asay Toiv and get from Darga to Darga without the prerequisite of Sur Meira. In another place, in his Sefer, the Shem Mishmur says the following. Chazal say that the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Klal Yisrael, Pischu li Pesach kepischoi shel machat, you open up for me an opening which is even as small as a needle point. Ve'eftach lochem, and I will open up for you Pesach kepischoi shel olam, an opening which is as wide, but kepischoi shel olam, as an opening of a large hall. To which the Shem Mishmur says the following. What Chazal are trying to tell us here, and this is the Pashat Pshat in the Gemara, that in order for a person to receive Siyata Dishmaya, and without Siyata Dishmaya a person gets absolutely nowhere, there has to be a minimal input on the part of the person. There has to be what in the language of Kabbalah is called Isarusa Drasato. There has to be a certain inspiration coming from the person. It doesn't matter how minimal that inspiration is. But the minute there is even the slightest inspiration on the part of the person, then the Siyata Dishmaya clicks in, called in the language of Kabbalah Isarusa de la Eloh, the awakening from above, and the Ribbono Shel Olam throws down tremendous amounts of Siyata Dishmaya. When Ribbono Shel Olam saw, says the Shem Mishmur, in Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael were descending Darga to Darga, that they were falling into the Mem Teshari Tuma, and that they were about to hit absolute rock bottom, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said that if he's not going to take them out from Mitzrayim at this point in time, then he'll never be able to take them out, because they will fall to a depth of tumah where they will be non-redeemable anymore. Therefore, Mirov Rachamim and Mirov Chasodim, the Ribbono Shel'olam was posach al ha-pesach, says Hashem Yishmor. He jumped over the very small pesach that he always requires from the person. The Ribbono Shel'olam said, even though there is absolutely no Isarusa de la Sato coming from Klal Yisrael, there's no interest coming from Klal Yisrael. There's no inspiration at all coming from Klal Yisrael. They're not interested in the slightest in changing. They're quite happy being in the Memtes Sharei Tumah. Nevertheless, I will change from my normal mode of behavior, Kaviyachol, says the Ribbono Shel'olam. And even though there's no Isarusa de la Sata, I will send them Siyata Dishmaya, and I will take them out and beguile them from Mitzrayim, even though they are totally non-deserving, because they haven't put any input into it whatsoever. Says the Shem Mishmuel, and this is the punchline. Says the Shem Mishmuel, you have to know something. Every single year, year in, year out, says the Shem Mishmuel, the Ribbono Shel'olam does a tremendous chesed with every single Jew. When a Jew sits b'leil ha-seder and he's mekayim the mitzvahs of matzah and albakasis and sipur yetzias Mitzrayim, what the Ribbono Shel'olam does is he's medaleg. He jumps him. He raises him up to a darga which there would be no possibility of him reaching on his own accord. And this happens automatically without him having any input in it. Simply by being mekayim the mitzvahs of the Leil HaSeder. And that's why Pesach is called Pesach Miloshen Dilug. And even though the person doesn't realize it, because he walks out of Pesach and he doesn't realize that he's changed in any way, this is the Metzias, says the Shem Mishmuel. When you finish the Seder night, if you will Mekayim the Mitzvahs, the way in which you were demanded by the Torah to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs, there was an act of Dilug here, and you are on a high in terms of Ruchnius. To which the prime Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, the Mari Asad, writes in a tshuva. Right? This is in the middle of a tshuva halacha lemaisa. This is not in a Drush Sefer, this is not in a Kabbalah Sefer. This is in the middle of a halacha, in the middle of a tshuva that he's writing. Because it bears relevance to what he's writing about. He quotes an Arizal. And he says, he says that the Arizal says that even though on the Leil HaSeder, and then he uses a Kabbalistic expression which basically means the same as what the Shem Mishmuel said, that a person reaches tremendous dargas in Ruchnius, the reason why nobody changes and nobody is different the morning after the Seder night is because all the dargas, listen to the language of the Arizal, that a person achieves on the Seder night as a gift from the Ribbono Shel'olam b'Hisarusa De'Ela are in fact all the oires share your iru bimei hasfira. These are all the ashpois which the Ribbono Shel'olam sends down through the 49 days of the sfira. However, rak she'achakach heim mistalkim, they immediately disappear after the person receives them. He gets it at the end of the Seder. By the end of the Seder, he gets this tremendous darga. He has it for a few moments, and then it disappears, says the Arizal. Utzrichim anu. And we have an obligation, says the Arizal. Lispa sfira, to count the days of the sfira. Lachnisom al yedei ma'aseinu echad li echad, to bring back all these hashpois day by day, ad chag haShavuos, until Shavuos comes. What's the logic that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a person for a split second tremendous dargas, and seemingly what the Arizal is saying is that in the split second he actually feels it. It just works so fast, it disappears so fast, that it doesn't become part of your conscious. But it's there, it was there in the Bishas Maisa, you felt it, says the Arizal. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam take it away? And if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want us to have it, and that's why he took it away, so why did he give it to us for a split second at the beginning? To which the pshat seems to be, the pasuk says, ta'amu, taste, uru, and see, ki tov Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is tov. Any tainug ruchni, anything which is being described by Chazal or being described by the Sifrei Musa as a tanug ruchni, as being some type of spiritual pleasure, cannot be grasped by a human being who is kuloi material and is kuloi Gashmi, unless at one point in his lifetime he experienced it. You cannot understand that which you have not experienced. It is too abstract. It is too divorced from us. You can talk about Olam Haba, and you can talk about Gehinnom, and you can talk about punishment in Gehinnom, but if you haven't experienced it, then you don't really know what it is, and therefore it's just an abstract thing. Yes, you can come up with all sorts of mesholim. You can say, stick your hand into a fire, and then know that Gehinnom is 400,000% more painful. Meaningless. You know why? Because you don't know what 400,000% more painful means. You've got no idea what it means. So again, you don't really grasp what it is. It's just semantics. It's just talking. A person cannot grasp something unless he's experienced it. So therefore, when the Maseiros Yesharim comes along and he says in the very first couple of sentences, Ha'odom lo nivra elo lihisanei gal Hashem, the only reason why a person was created was to be misaneg al Hashem, and thereby lihonos miziv shchinasoi, to have hano from the ziv of the Shechina, it's meaningless. It's words. It doesn't talk to us. And it doesn't talk to us for a very valid reason. It doesn't talk to us because we've never experienced what the Saneg al Hashem is. How should we? We don't know what it is. Because it takes the Maseiros Yesharim 27 prokim to explain the various madregas, until you get to Kedusha and Ruach HaKodesh, which at which point you'll be Misaneg al Hashem. So what's the function, what's the purpose of telling me that this is the objective when the objective is meaningless to me? Your function in life is to fly flapping your hands and with no other outside help to the moon. Very nice. Very nice. Totally meaningless. I've never experienced flying, flapping my hands. There are guys here who can't verbalize anything. All they can do is flap their hands. But they don't fly. They fly because of other reasons, but not because of flapping their hands. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in order that a person should have some type of understanding of what Lisaning al Hashem is, that he should have some type of understanding of Kitoiv Hashem, says the Pasuk, there has to be a Ta'amu Re'u, there has to be an occasion when you actually had a flash of inspiration, when you actually saw this, or whether you actually tasted it. If there never was such a Metzias, then we're wasting our time. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam does a chesed with every single Jew. He gives him. He places within the subconscious of the Jew that awareness, that madrega of Lisaneg al Hashem. That's the diluk, that's the kfitza. That's what happens on the Leil HaSeder. That the Ribbono Shel Olam for a split second puts into the subconscious of a person a total, complete awareness, a hargosha, a feeling of what it is, Lisaneg al Hashem, what it is to reach a darga of Kedusha. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam takes it away. But it's there. It's there. Meaning that the person has experienced it. And therefore it's there in his subconscious. Because he's experienced it, it's there in his subconscious. He's not consciously aware of it, but it's there. And there's an additional reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam takes it away. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to the person when the person really wasn't deserving of it. Because he hadn't done anything to change himself. He hadn't put any effort in. There was no Pesach Shel Machat on the part of the person. So if the, as we've said before, if the Keli is a weak one, then putting into it such powerful Kedusha is dangerous. Again, you're plugging in a 110-volt air conditioner into a 220 voltage. What happens? It explodes. If you take your average guy and you plug into him Kedusha to this degree, he explodes. It's got a name in Kabbalah, even. The concept of a person gets plugged into a Kedusha which is much, much too strong for him, and he literally explodes on a spiritual level. It's called Shviras HaKelim. The Keli explodes. It breaks. You try putting into a bottle too much of a solid, and you keep doing it, what happens? The bottle bursts. Matthias. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam takes it away, because it was a matnas kel. We're not there yet, but we need it. As we said, we need it for that one split second, because if you haven't got it for that one split second, then you haven't experienced it for that one split second, then you're never going to be able to want it or to desire it. The Maharal writes that the reason why on the night, on the day of Pesach. In other words, the first day after the Mochras HaShabbos, the first day after the first day of Pesach, we are makriv the Korban Omer, which was a Minchas Seorim, which was made from barley, and on Chag HaShavuos, we are makriv the Shtei HaLechem, which is from wheat, is because barley, Chazal say, is Meichel Behema. It's what you feed animals. And wheat is Meichel Odom. It's a Gemara in Satan, Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph. Which, says the Maral, is telling us something. It's telling us that this period of time starts with a Korban which is Meichel Behema and finishes with a Korban which is Meichel Odom. It's a period of time where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that a person should move from Behema to Odom. And Odom, says the Shlo HaKodesh, is not just from the word Adom or earth, because Adam Rishon was created from earth. But Adam also comes, says the Shloha HaKodesh, not only from Ki Min HaAdam HaLukach, as the Pasuk says, but also from the Loshon HaPasuk in Yishayahu, in the 14th Perek of Yishayahu, where the Pasuk says that man Adam Le'Elyoy, the man says, Adam el Elyon, I will reach a darga where I will be comparable to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Shlo HaKodesh, the tafkid of a person is that he should be able to change himself from an Ish HaAdomo, from a person of Gashmias, from a man of the earth, from a spiritual peasant, into a matzav where he is doima b'midoisov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The whole point of the 49 days of the Yemei HaSfira is in order that a person should work on himself. Particularly and specifically during this period of time, to develop from the Darga of Behema to the Darga of Adam El Elyon. And on Shavuos, as we mentioned this week already, says the Shlo HaKodesh, based on the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says that Shavuos is a Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin of Shavuos is that on Shavuos the Ribbono Shel Olam judges a person. What happened in the last 49 days? Did he change himself from Sa'irim to Chitim? Did he change himself from Behemius La Adam El Elyon? And, says the Ari HaKodesh, if a person consistently is Oved, works during these days, on these Inyonim, which he can do, says the Ari, because in his subconscious he knows what the Tainug of Kedusha is, because he had it for that split second on the Leil HaSeder, then he will regain it. And by the time Shavuos comes round, he will regain that Kedusha that the Ribbono Shel Olam took away from him on the Leil HaSeder. Which is why the Torah comes along here and puts in the din of Oimer, and the din of Shtei Alechem in the parasha of Moedes. Because the din of Oimer and the din of Shtei Alechem is Mekusha to Pesach. It's a regaining of that which we lost on the Leil HaSeder and which we will get back if we do it properly on Leil Shavuos. The Medrash says, on the words in the Pasuk, V'heinif es ha'omer lifnei Hashem, says the Medrash, Ketzad me'nifoi. What did the Kohen do when he took the Omer and he waved it around? What did he do when he took the Korban Shtei Alechem and he waved it around? Says the Medrash, Meilich u'mevi. He waved it in all directions like a lulav, male u'meirid, in an upward direction and in a downward direction. Meilich u'mevi l'misha eilam kulei shaloi. He waved it in all four directions to symbolize the fact that everything is shayach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, and he put us here to do what he wanted us to do here. Meile u'meirid, and he, in an upward direction and a downward direction, to signify Elyonim betachtonim, the Olam Haruchni and there's an Olam Hagashmi, which is also Shaloi. In other words, the Tnufa symbolizes that a person realizes that the Olam Hagashmi in which he lives is all connected with the Shemayim. It's Kulei Lashem, it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that a person has to devote himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's the tafkid of the Yemei HaSfira, as we said, which is why the Torah constantly repeats the concept of tenufa. I think that everybody, it doesn't matter who we are and where we are and where we're at, when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, and if one is slightly more sensitive, then the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And if one is slightly more sensitive, then the Yemei Ha'el understands that there's a Yem Adin, and if there's a Yem Adin, it's scary. And therefore it's already formulated in Shulchan Aruch that Jews behaved differently in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva than the way in which they behaved during the year. And in the Yemei Ha'el, Jews already started behaving differently. And in the Yemei Ha'el, according to the Mechaber, you already start saying Slichas. From Rosh Chodesh Elul. Yes, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if you're makel in certain things during the year, and you have a right to be makel, because there is a day in Halacha that you can be makel, and yes, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you should be machmer. All because of Pachad Hadin. All because of the fear that there is a Yem Hadin. Yesh Din v'yesh Dayan. The world is not Hefka. There is no hefkeiros in this world. A person pays for his thoughts, for his speech, and for his actions. And what he pays and how he pays is determined on the Yom HaDin. And the Yom HaDin of Shavuos determines what did the individual do in the preceding weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, in order to move to a higher level, to move away from the Bahamias, to move away from the Gashmias. And if a person ignores it completely and carries on behaving during these days the way that he normally behaves, then Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, he pays for it. But on the other hand, if a person does what he's meant to do, then the schar that he gets on Shavuos is infinite. Because it brings him back to the darga of the Leil HaSeder, which he doesn't even realize he was at, of Dilug, which is the highest level of Kedusha.